today as we come to the table.
If we're feeding the Spirit in word and prayer and the things of God, then the Spirit's going to dominate our lives. And so we have a willful choice each morning and each day of how we're going to let our lives be led. And it means it's up to us to determine that direction. Now, God is the one that gives us the power. The power only comes by the Holy Spirit. But note this, we have to make a choice every day. Which way are we going to go? And I'll tell you this, I'm speaking from personal experience, but because I know human nature and what the Bible says, you're dealing with the same thing I am. If I don't willfully make a choice to go the right direction when I start my day, then the day's going to take me a wrong direction.
What have you been choosing today? To serve self or to serve God? It's a daily decision. Many times it can even be a moment-by-moment battle. This battle is easily lost if you depend on your own strength. But when you lean into God and open yourself to the filling of the Spirit, He can empower you to be victorious. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, as Pastor Mark continues our study in the book of Galatians, he'll challenge us to choose God in our daily lives. You have to get practical about it. Maybe it means putting up reminders in your home or workspace, or you may need an accountability partner. Whatever it takes, be purposeful about it. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians chapter 5 as he continues his message, The Daily Choice, The Daily Battle.
Why don't we get our Bibles and open them up now to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 26. And before we actually get into this, I wanted to make a clarification from our study last week, because we did have at least one person I know who misunderstood an explanation I made about Christian depression and serving. And I want to clarify this for you, because I mentioned that two of the biggest reasons that Christians get depressed is spiritual attack, number one. And also, we get too focused on our own lives oftentimes, what our problems are. And whenever we get inwardly focused, we get depressed. And then you have the demonic oppression that comes on top of that. But I wasn't mentioning every reason that a believer gets depressed, and I wanted to clarify that. There are, those were two specific reasons, but not all the reasons. There are real and legitimate mental health issues. There are genetic defects, DNA. There's all kinds of reasons, and so I didn't want to insinuate that there aren't some real legitimate mental health issues beyond demonic activity and beyond focusing on self. And so I felt that was important to clarify, because I thought, well, if there's one person that misunderstood me on that, there may be others. And it wasn't my intention or my heart to say that there's never anything beyond looking through the demonic realm or self issues that cause depression. There are truly legitimate chemical issues, DNA or birth issues that can affect the brain. So I wanted to clarify that so that you know. And I think the Lord is needed in all of those, whether or not it's something genetic or whether or not it's something that is demonic or whether or not it's a focus on self. We need to know all the different ways and reasons that believers can be depressed, because if we don't understand the battle, we can't take it to the Lord. So I wanted to make that clarification before we went on in today's passage. But with that said, we get now into this look today at these everyday choices that we make and the everyday battle that we make. You know, every day we have numerous choices that direct and affect our lives in some way. Some we know we're making, and some are made for us because we didn't plan in advance. And what I mean by that is, because of our sin nature and our natural bent toward doing what is wrong, if we don't purposefully choose the right direction, we're going to naturally go the wrong direction. And this is where our society is so confused today. A lot of people wonder, why is there so much murder? Why is there so much rape? Why are there so many bad things that happen? And really, we have to be honest with ourselves. Why do we think bad thoughts we shouldn't think? Why do we do things we wish we didn't do? It's because of the sin nature. The Bible says we're born sinners. We are naturally bent towards sin. That's our natural bent, our natural drive. And so we have to now go supernatural. We go beyond the natural into the supernatural, and we say, God, transform us. Help us, Lord. Give us a new nature. And God does that when we're born again. You get the new nature. But here's the clincher. When you get the new nature, you still have the old one. So you have the old nature fighting with the new nature, and the two are at battle with each other. And the one that you feed the most is the one that's going to win the battle. That's the one that's going to dominate. So if we're feeding the flesh is going to dominate our lives. If we're feeding the Spirit in word and prayer and the things of God, then the Spirit's going to dominate our lives. And so we have a willful choice each morning and each day of how we're going to let our lives be led. And it means it's up to us to determine that direction. Now, God is the one that gives us the power. The power only comes by the Holy Spirit. But note this, we have to make a choice every day. Which way are we going to go? And I'll tell you this, I'm speaking from personal experience, but because I know human nature and what the Bible says, you're dealing with the same thing I am. If I don't willfully make a choice to go the right direction when I start my day, then the day's going to take me a wrong direction. It doesn't mean I'm going to be out there doing all these horrible things that are going to land me in prison, so to speak, but I'm not going to be walking in the Spirit. I'm not going to be walking in the love of the Lord. And so as believers, we have a choice to make. And this is so key for us to understand. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me. Note that. In other words, it's something that happens even if you don't want it to. If you don't make a purposeful choice to be with Jesus, you automatically get put into a category that's against him. You may say, well, I'm not against Jesus. If you're not willfully for him, you're automatically put in that category whether you like it or not. Is what the Lord says here. And he says, he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So we have to make a choice to follow the Lord and be with the Lord each day if we're going to walk with him. Jesus said again in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Again, note that. And follow me, showing us a choice must be made again on that daily basis. And it's interesting. I was studying that this week, and I'm thinking, Lord, I choose today to follow you, but I didn't spend the time in word and prayer that I really should have that day. This was a couple of days ago. It's not that I avoided it. I did read the word. I did pray some, but it was more of like it wasn't really jumping in and saying, God, I really need your direction. It was more of, okay, I'm going to read the word some. I'm going to pray some. And again, not getting into all this legalistic and how, but just not really just pressing into the Lord like I should have. And that day, some things happened that were going, you know, I'm like, Lord, wait a minute. I chose to follow you today. Why is my flesh pulling the other way? And God spoke to my heart and said, here's the thing. Look, you've got to choose to follow me every day, but then, Mark, you've got to take action to make it happen. And what do I mean by that? If I don't take action to press into the Lord, to get into the Word, to get into prayer, then I'm going to be getting into things I don't need to be getting into. And my thoughts are going to be places they shouldn't be. And that's just the reality. So what we're going to see today is as Paul begins to unwrap this whole battle we have between the choices and the daily battle, it's not enough to make a choice to follow the Lord this morning. You've got to do what it takes to follow through. Now you're doing that. You're here in fellowship. You're hearing the word of God. You're being fed the word of God. You're taking in the word of God. As we go through this passage, you're doing what you need to do. You're going to be praying silently with yourself, no doubt, throughout the teaching from time to time. You may have already spent time in prayer this morning. You'll be praying throughout the day. So you are taking action on Sunday because God kind of packages it in such a way when we gather together that you're kind of put into it, kind of makes it happen. But what happens when it's not Sunday? What happens when it's not Wednesday? See, now this is, it's up to you. And every day is up to us. Don't get us wrong. It's the work of the Spirit. This is not, I'm not saying that it's up to us. We have to do this. It's not a work of the flesh. That's not my point. My point is we have to take our part, and our part is to seek the Lord. We have to press in. So don't just say, God, I choose today to follow you. We have to also press in and do what it takes to make it happen. And we're going to see the passage broken up into three different sections. That is how we are to walk with God. The results of walking in the flesh and the results of walking in the Spirit. So that's how it's going to be broken up as Paul jumps into this. And I'm not quite sure that we'll finish all of it today. We'll find out. We'll get as far as we can, and then we'll take up next week if we can't finish it all, but we may. But again, first of all, how do we walk? And this is where Paul, again, last week, remember talking about love fulfilling the law. They were doing good. Somebody stopped them, got in the way, pulled them away. And he says, don't let anybody steal your liberty. But don't use your freedom or liberty to sin, giving all the balance that comes with that. And then now he starts in verse 16 with this whole how we're supposed to walk. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. And look at the result. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Powerful verse here. It shows, as we noted, the willful choice in how we are to walk and live each day. But what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Look, to walk in the Spirit means, first of all, to make a choice to follow the Lord in His Spirit and not to follow ourselves. But then secondly, as I already mentioned, to take action to make it happen. If I get up this morning and I say, Lord, I want to follow you today, and I want you to use me to feed the people at Calvary Chapel, Knoxville. God, use me. They're coming to hear your word today. They don't need to hear Mark, and they don't need to just be religious and show up and put some check mark and went to church on Sunday. Feed them, Lord. Feed them. Okay? I can say that all I want, but if I don't press in to study and I'm prepared and I don't pray, then it's not going to happen. And so the same thing is true for you, is you've got to take action to make it happen. And again, that comes by spending time in the word and time in prayer. And so to walk in the Spirit here is grammatically a command, which means it's something we're supposed to do as a regular lifestyle. I get back to what we saw Jesus said earlier, take up your cross and follow me. How often? Daily. It's a daily walk, guys. It's not something we just kind of, okay, I signed up and I'm in now and don't worry about it, live my own life. No, he wants us to walk daily with him if we're going to be his disciples and walk in power and walk in freedom and walk in victory. And when we do this as a lifestyle, we will walk in the Spirit, as Paul exhorts us to do here, as opposed to walking in the flesh. And again, notice the result. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill what you want to do that's wrong. Now, again, what is the lust of the flesh? He's going to get into more details of the results of the flesh. But the lust of the flesh are the sinful desires of our natural self, our flesh, that come naturally due to the fall. I mean, nobody has to program that in. It's in there. It's in us. It's just there. We have to keep it at bay. And so what Paul is saying is, if we choose to walk in the Spirit as opposed to simply sitting there and doing nothing, then we can set the course of our day and our life in the direction of the Spirit and not carry out the natural sinful desires. And I can tell you, again, if I don't spend that time with the Lord in the Word and in prayer, my flesh will naturally do what my flesh naturally does. You know, one of the most disappointing things to me as a believer is to find out that I'm still Mark. That's frustrating to me. I thought when I gave my life to Jesus, I was a new creation. Okay, let me say this. I am a new creation, and you're a new creation. But if I don't nurture in the sense of in the Spirit and in prayer and seeking God, you know what happens? I go back to being the same old Mark I was before I was saved. Now, I'm not jumping back into the drugs and alcohol life and that, whatever. But you know what? If I stayed away from the flesh and I allowed Mark just to go, I could end up back there. And if I think I couldn't end up back there, I'm deceiving myself. You see, Peter thought that. Peter's the Lord, you know. I don't need to worry about that. They'll all fall, but they're all going to do that, but I won't. I'm going to stand. And he said, Peter, if you don't pay attention, if you're not staying in prayer and in the word, you're not going to make this. And Peter didn't get in the prayer and the word that night. What happened? He was pulled right back into the same old guy that he was, Simon Peter, who was always, you know, having the, you know, foot in his mouth disease, so to speak, and getting in trouble doing it again. And the frustrating thing to me, and I know you've probably seen this frustration as well, is we're still very much here. We just have to learn to live by the Spirit now. And say, okay, Mark, I see that. The battle. Here's the struggle. The picture says it all, right? It's a wrestling match. It's that arm wrestling. It's one wants to pull this way, one wants to pull that way. So how do I do it? It's the same for everyone. It's basic. And I'm going to say it probably, you'll probably be sick of me saying it by the time we're done. The word and prayer every day. The word and prayer every day. Lord, I'm going to follow you today. I've got this prayer that I pray every day. I learned from Pastor Chuck, and that is, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I choose to walk with you today. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to walk with you. Now, that's great. I'm glad I pray that. But if I don't take action to make it happen, I find out that that doesn't happen. So Paul exhorting them, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh if you just walk in the Spirit. And those are the ingredients that we just shared on walking in the Spirit. Notice this, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. That's pretty radical language. You know, we think about lust oftentimes in a sexual term. This is not a sexual connotation, but you think about how strong the lust drive can be, especially without Christ. Maybe before Christ, you know, you've experienced that. Imagine that kind of power going against doing what's right. There's that same drive. I just want to do wrong. And it may have nothing to do with sexual things. Don't think of that. You know, don't limit the word lust to that. It's in our society today, oftentimes linked over to sexual things. No, this is just a strong drive to do wrong. And it can be overpowering. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. But I love this. Note this. The spirit is fighting just as hard against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many of you does that describe this morning? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise mine. I'll put myself on the spot. I read that passage where Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do it. I'm like, okay, I get that. I'm with you. High five. What do we do now? Not high five and rejoicing about it, but associating. Pray to follow the Lord and then make the right choice to have the power to do it. The most well-intentioned Christian in the world is going to fail over and over and over if we don't spend time in the Word and prayer. Guys, that's where the power, Lord, fill me with your spirit today. I pray that every day. I need your spirit right now. God, fill me right now. In the middle of this teaching, I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can say your word and not mine. And then we can keep our focus on the Lord and do what God wants us to do. So he says, if you do this, you'll not do the things that you want to do, but you've got to be in the spirit. You ever wonder why really what the things you want to do, you just don't do? Here's the reason. The flesh and the spirit are at war with each other. And depending on our choices and which spirit we walk in each day, it will determine what we do. And once again, this all goes back to that daily decision in the morning. And I stress morning because if you're starting your day, for me, listen, if we don't start our day out in the right direction with the Lord, the enemy's going to be right there waiting on us. And let me just say this. The enemy doesn't have to be waiting on me. My flesh is stinky enough without him to do a lot of things it shouldn't do. You know, we blame everything on the devil. Let's remember something. We have an enemy that's causing us and tempting us and pulling us in the wrong direction. But the Bible says we have a sin nature without him that's doing the same thing. If Satan was non-existent, we would still have a desire to do wrong. So we have two battles we have to face, our own flesh and the enemy. And we're not powerful enough to fight that. Only God can fight that. That comes by prayer and by the Spirit of God. And so this is what he's getting across to them. And look at verse 18. He says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Again, he's been referring to the law throughout Galatians, as you guys know, whether to live under the law, not to live under the law, not put yourself under the law. And he says, each day, really, is depending on whether we're being led by the flesh or the Spirit, will determine whether the law is necessary in our life or not. That is, if we're walking in the Spirit, the law is not needed because we're doing what's right. But if we're walking in the flesh or our natural sinful desires, the law is necessary in order to keep us in line. You know, I mean, again, it's just easy. You want to use it over and over. But I mean, if you're doing the speed limit, you don't need the law there to regulate. You're doing it. It's when we're not doing the speed limit that the law is that regulator or whatever the law is that regulates us. And his point is, if we're walking in the Spirit, the law is not necessary. But when we're walking in the flesh, the law has to be there to keep us and mankind in line. 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 10 says this. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So the law is designed to stop these things, but if you're walking in the Spirit, it's not necessary. So Paul lays the groundwork there, and then he begins to point out what the laws are, or what the works of the flesh are. Now, we're going to know these all too well because we've experienced many of them, if not most. Notice what he says. He says, verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident. I love that word there because what it means is we all know it. We recognize the works of the flesh. He goes, this is not something that's going to surprise us. And what are they? He says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we'll come back to 21 and explain what that means, but Paul gives a list here now of the flesh and things that are evident, that are clearly seen. And again, when we read the list, you probably noticed some of the things that people blame on demons and or even diseases. And yet Paul says these aren't demons and these aren't diseases. These are what? Works of the flesh. The Bible makes it very clear what they are. They're works of the flesh. And again, a lot of people, I think, try to blame these on demons because they want to say that somebody else is making them do it and pass the buck. You know, I've got the demon of adultery. And that's why I love it. But listen, there is no demon of adultery. There's the sin of adultery. And if we commit the sin of adultery, no doubt there are demons influencing that. No doubt there are demons saying, go for it. You know, your wife or husband doesn't love you anymore. This new one will make you happy. God will forgive you. Whatever the enemy throws into our mind to tempt us in that. And you could go any one of these sins you can name. I just grab the first one that's here. But it's not a demon that's making you do that. There may be that pull and tug by the demonic realm. But what Paul is saying is all of these things he lists here, he says, these are things of the flesh that unless you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to be apt to do. And I'm not saying that means that just because you're not walking in the Spirit, you're going to commit adultery. I think there's different levels of decisions and choices and things that happen. But the bottom line is you're going to be influenced toward these things of the flesh if you're not walking in the Spirit. And so we'll get to what Paul says the ultimate outcome is and explain that when we get there. But look at this list again here of the fleshly life. Number one, adultery. What is adultery? Well, it's sexual relations with anyone other than your spouse. And Jesus said, even in thought life. And if we weren't convicted of the first part, we're convicted of the second. And it doesn't have to be sexual. Typically for men, it's sexual. For women, it might be romantic. It might be, I want somebody that loves me. It might be, you know, the 24-hour, every day, every channel Hallmark has started now for the holidays. How come my husband doesn't have a beautiful house with a nice Christmas tree and diamonds everywhere and some romantic skating thing? If I skated, I'd fall down and the ring would go flying, you know, so that wouldn't work. But it's this whole romance thing, right? And there's nothing wrong in that. But it's these kind of things that can draw people in, whether it's a novel or whether it's a movie. That's where women, I think, are more susceptible. So women, be careful. Guard yourself. Satan presents things much differently than they are. And then for men, it's oftentimes, again, the sexual, because of the way we're made, you know. She's younger. She's prettier. This one will, you know, whatever. She'll love you. Your wife, whatever. You're being lied to. And anything for temporary, anything can be a temporary fling or seem like something new and exciting, but you know what that's like? You get something new, you're so excited. After a while, it's back to the same just like it was before. You know, your new car. I got a new car. A year or two, it's the best thing in the world. And it gets that first scratch. You know, I watch guys leave their wives and marry the new model or whatever, so to speak, no pun intended. And then the first scratch comes along. And now they're divorcing that one and then into the next one, buy a new one, you know. The flesh is never satisfied. And so adultery is something, again, here that, you know, Paul warns against and says, you know, Jesus warned you in thought life, guard yourself. Fornication, this is interesting, another work of the flesh. Any sexual relationship outside of marriage. Okay, and note this, and it includes any sexual acts outside of marriage. There's a whole mindset today that people think, well, I'm not really having physical relations, you know, completely with someone. If you're doing anything sexual with someone that's not you're not married to, it's what the Bible refers to as fornication. It's sin before God. What about uncleanness? Well, it got quiet on those last two, didn't it? By the way, this is why we don't have kids in here. We talk about adult subjects, and we teach our kids at their level. We teach the adults at the adult level. But we're going to talk straight up and honest what the Bible talks about, because we have to do that to know what we're facing and what to battle.
The book of Galatians is a good reminder of what really matters. It's a book about being freed from your sinful lifestyle, and that freedom will open up the world to you so you can walk in God's will for your life unhindered. Now, that doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want, because we all know that will take you to a place away from God. But the closer you get to Jesus, you'll notice your thinking and desires will change for the better. If you're truly seeking Him in all things and walking in a way that pleases Him, you end up being freed up from what's holding you back. As Pastor Mark reminds us, knowing and following Jesus is life-changing. Some people think that they have to give up everything they really enjoy if they commit to Christ, but that's exactly the opposite. Whatever God asks you to lay down is because it's harmful or hurtful. He always replaces it with something better. All you need to do is surrender to Jesus and trust that He'll take care of the rest. We realize it might not seem that easy in your head or heart, so please reach out to us if you have questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section, or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. We hope you'll take that leap of faith into a more fulfilling life, and we hope you'll join us for more expository truths for the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.